So I could just do something to drive by.
Okay. Got this thing.
They just got a blockage and I have a right bundage. I don't know, you know what it is, but some sort of a blockage. My doctor said I wasn't feeling it for about a month. And the doctor said it's all school and KT.
We'll get started in a minute here.
She's got to go to the hospital right now for her to see if we're getting an ambulance. Well, these are chicken. And even then, she wanted to get an ambulance. And they just.
No. Okay, I got the recorder going, so we got that on recording. We're at Faith Bible Church. It's Thursday night Bible study. The date is 7/18, I believe. And we're doing a series on the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the dispensation of grace. Actually, at the end, we're going to do what the Holy Spirit is not doing in the dispensation of grace that He was doing at one time. But tonight we're going to start out at the ministry of teaching. So before anything, we're going to open up in prayer. We're going to open up in prayer anyway, because I already got it started and I don't know how to put on pause. And if anybody's got any prayer request, Mary made a list. Bring it, and we'll lift it up in prayer every week. So we'll pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before You, Lord, and we thank You, Lord, that You're help us to not think of You as way out there, Lord. But Christ is in us; we're one with Him, and Your Holy Spirit intercedes for us, and we thank You for that, Lord. We're weak because a lot of times we don't know what to pray for. And Your Spirit knows what Your will is and He intercedes for us. And if we get to that tonight, Lord, it'll be a blessing. If not, we'll do it next week. We just pray Your Holy Spirit will teach us what His ministry is to us, that we might understand that, Lord. That we might not get caught up and tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that's taught about Your Holy Spirit today. We pray not only that, but that we might know Him better as our counselor, our teacher, our empower. And we pray that Christ would be glorified, Father, and every person's mind would be illuminated by Your Holy Spirit. And I just offer myself to You, Lord, as in view of Your mercy, Your compassion, and Your grace, a living sacrifice. And may Christ in me just teach through me tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And let me just one more thing with Mary's prayer request, I forgot. Lord, we pray for Edna Nelson having surgery today, Robin's mom. John Rails for his kidneys in fourth stage blood cancer. Tara Reyes, John's daughter, after when they redid their vows, she was in a car accident or her car was totaled. Alana from Facebook, Lori for an office job, something she could do with her back. Eddie Batura for a job, Laura's brother, for Mary's mom, that she might be become saved. Chris and Jacob for future and their relationship with Christ and for college. She put down for me for a permanent job position that I can deal with some of my physical things. And we thank You, Lord, for the position You've in the staffing agency You've given us. And we just thank You, Lord, for so many blessings, God. We don't just want to come to You with requests. We want to come to You with thanksgiving at all times. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So again, I'll just announce for those who have come in. It's nice to see everybody out. We're going to look into the ministry of teaching the Holy Spirit. Him teaching us. We've already, a lot of these ministries overlap what the Holy Spirit does in us, like illumination, teaching, yet they're sort of separate too, and so we're going to look at that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 to 13. I ain't got no jokes like the pastor while you're getting to your things.
Hallelujah.
How's my hair look? No. Paul would let me know.
You look marvelous.
I'll go up and see you. Which hair, right? I only got two or three. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 to 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 to 13. So everybody just about there? I'll do a little song and dance up here. You don't want to see me sing, I'm tired. Okay. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? So again, only you know what you're truly thinking. Remember we went over a little bit last week? I don't know what you're thinking unless you express to me truthfully. So in the same way, even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, remember the context is about the mystery, if you look in verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And that mystery is what? It's the dispensation of grace, but what is, you know, sometimes we get in all different facts about rightly dividing, and we need to do that, you know, and we'll see the Holy Spirit actually teaches us how to do that and discern and rightly divide. But what's it all about? What is the mystery? Christ in you, your hope for glory. It's all about Christ in us now. And then them facts that sort of break up all the blessings so we can look into what that is. And it is the dispensation of grace that was hid. But remember, Paul's message is all about Christ. It's not just about facts. It's about Christ, you know. So our focus should be on what? Christ. You know, and when we are, because we're in union with Christ, right? We're one with Christ. So how do you know the evidence of when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're walking in the Spirit, you're focused on the Spirit? What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, all the way to what? Self-control. It's not self-discipline. See, religion starts you... I was listening to a wonderful tape. This is a little commercial by Malcolm Smith. He's a sort of a conservative charismatic, so he doesn't really exactly rightly divide the word, but he does see some differences. But what he does understand is the life of Christ in you, that principle that we're one with Christ, that the Christian life isn't lived by our self-efforts, because that's what religion does. You know, you get saved and what happens? The Holy Spirit comes in you, right? And seals you and gives you life. Now Christ is in you, right? Jesus said, I came to give you what? Life. Now there's two words in the Greek for life. Okay, one is bios, one is zoe. Z-O-O-E. Bios is, what do you think about when you hear bios? Biography. See, it's what you do. And here's what happens. You get saved, and you get Zoe. Zoe is the quality of life that God has. God comes and indwells you, okay? And what happened? Then you get joy. Remember when you got saved? It was like, man, you want to tell everybody about Jesus, because I just love him, man. I got something I didn't have. I got this peace. I got this joy, you know? And then what happens? You go to church, and they want to change your bios. What you do. You don't do these things no more, and you start doing that. You know? And that's what happens. And you know what happens when you get under that? That's a form of legalism. You lose that joy, right? Because you forget what it is. It's the life of Christ in you. It's not a set of rules. Every religion has what? Rules. And they all got a book. You know that? Oh, my book's better than yours, and my religion's better than yours because we got more rules. And that's not the Christian life. The Christian life is what? Live by faith. So then as you began in Christ Jesus, what? Continue in Him. Right? How do you begin in Him? By faith. So if we're not experiencing that joy, that peace, that love flowing through us, we got our mind on performing instead of on Christ. And the Holy Spirit is always going to point us to what? Occupation with Christ. Right? He's always going to do that. He's always going to get our focus. Never, Martin Luther said, never think of yourself apart from Christ. You know, well, what about when you get tempted? Right? Don't you feel that pull? The pull of the world? And the pastor did a wonderful message Sunday. I mean, a practical aspect about starving the flesh. But it's there, right? But you know, God could have took that away from us, right? Couldn't He have took our sinful natures away? But then, would we depend on Him as much? No. So when you get that pull, there's our opportunity to take what we're learning as you're coming to study, you're coming to church, you're doing your own Bible study, and when it pulls, it's like, no, that's not me. I am one with Christ. I don't want that. That's that old sin nature. And the Holy Spirit's always going to bring you to your identity in Christ and that oneness you have with Christ. And see, it's not, I'm not gonna. It's, Lord, I don't have to. You broke it by Romans chapter 6, right? Reckon yourself dead to sin because you died with Christ. You were buried and you rose. The Holy Spirit, He's going to bring us always to the things of grace, and He's going to take what Christ accomplished through His death, burial, and the resurrection, and He makes them real in our life. So, back to here, I'm sorry. In verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor... Wait a minute. I was starting in... 11. I'm sorry. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God. When did you receive Him? The moment you believe. Ephesians chapter 1, right? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's when you received the life of Christ. Praise God. Every spiritual blessing. Now we open up this book and let the Holy Spirit teach us what? It's like opening a presence. Find out what you got. You know? And we receive the Spirit which is from God that we might what? Know the things that are freely given to us by God. And that idea, might know, it's in the subjective mood of possibility. That means the Holy Spirit's wanting to teach us that, but sometime, for whatever reasons, our denomination, what we want to believe, we can agree the Holy Spirit, we can resist the Holy Spirit. You know, that's why when we're trying to share with people, remember I mentioned this last week, that if the Holy Spirit's convicting their heart, and we should plant seeds, but don't argue with people. Don't try and force them in getting my understanding, because maybe they're not ready. So it's a mood of possibility, you know, that He does want to teach us, but sometimes we don't want to be taught. Believe that? I know myself. And the things that are freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And that idea also is expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. So the Holy Spirit, He wants to teach us what? The grace of God, right? That mystery. He wants us to know that. But sometimes people aren't ready. They just like to maybe be in their little ministry, you know, might be a Sunday school teacher in the choir, and, you know, and they're very comfortable. They don't want to, you know, we don't like to step out of our comfort zone, do we? And do something that I don't have any ability, you know, I'm not comfortable with, you know. Me and Steve used to go to Grace Gospel, and it was a big church, and, you know, when you go to a church that rightly divides the word, usually you get people coming from all over. It's not a lot of time the people in the neighborhood, right? So I would go, and, you know, you might nod to somebody, but I said, you know what, I don't want to come every week to church and not know anybody. So I had to make a decision, and I said, every week I'm going to reach out to somebody and introduce myself. You know, and that's what I did, and pretty soon I started getting to know people in the church. But see, sometimes you gotta get out there, you know. Or you say, yeah, but I'm not good at evangelism, sharing, you know. Well, can I do all things through Christ? See, that's where taken by faith. See, we can know things, but faith takes that step and says, you know what? I'm not good at it. But God's not looking for our abilities. What's He looking for? Our availability. And all you got to do is start to share. And if their hearts are prepared, because if the Holy Spirit doesn't have a heart prepared, and I'm not talking about Calvinism, I'm talking about He's been cultivating in even the believer's heart, say about right division and the grace of God and the legalist heart. And if He's ready, or even if a person's not ready for salvation, we can plant seeds and then we water them by prayer, right? And we should do that, because if we love them, we share. But then not pushing them, because if their hearts aren't ready, they're not going to respond. And what can we do? I think we can make them kind of back off. Like, I worked at this place when I was younger, and this guy was, I think it was a Baptist guy. He had a Baptist hairstyle, yeah. And he was telling me something about something in my life, you know. And he, at break time, he would get like in my face, you know. And I'm from the hood, you know. You don't want to get in somebody's face from the hood. And I told him, you know what? You need to back off a little bit. I said, if God shows me it, I'll respond to it. But you need to back off. And he was actually pushing me away. And we can sometimes do that if we're not sharing the truth in love. And so, because the Holy Spirit, He's very gentle, isn't He? In our lives. You think about it, some things, I can think of some things in my own life, and we don't gotta raise hands and, you know, confess our sins to one another, but where the Holy Spirit, maybe for years, has been working with us in something, or months, you know, and He's so gentle, and He takes His time with us, because, you know, when God does change, He wants it to be inwardly, a transformation, not just outwardly, I stopped doing it, but I still want to. See, that's like an AA group, and, you know, if somebody goes to AA group and stops drinking that, you know, hey, glad for him that. But I used to room at this place, and this other guy was going to AA. But you know what? He still wanted to drink. He wasn't drinking, but he still wanted to. And me, I had been delivered from drugs, and drinking was never a real big problem for me. But drugs, but I didn't want to. That's the difference when God transforms you, because you can rehabilitate yourself. You know, you can modify your behavior. That's not what God's trying to do. He wants permanent change. You know, and it's change of what? Christ in us. Just being comfortable, dwelling in our hearts through faith and expressing itself out of us. You know, that's, we're just, what are we? We're children of God, right? Members of the body of Christ. But didn't Paul say we got this treasure? What's a treasure? Christ in us. We're just jars, right? We never become more than a jar. But we got the treasure in us, so that's pretty wonderful jar, right? We're a bunch of crackpots, if you ask me. But in our weakness, because we are cracked, what can the light do? It shines out. In our weakness, His power is made manifest, you know? And so that's the Holy Spirit's trying to teach us what we have in Christ. But is He going to just, you know, sit down and say, okay, I'm going to tune in with my inner self and Holy Spirit, just speak to me? You know, you probably get a voice, but I don't think it won't be the Holy Spirit. He's going to teach you through this Word, right? That's why we need to get into the Word. And like the pastor said, you starve the flesh, but you feed the Spirit. See? And the Word of God that what? Worketh in you, energizes you, you know? So the Holy Spirit's always leading us into the Word. Let's go to 2 Timothy 1:14. 2 Timothy 1:14. And you know, sometime I've seen this happen, believers, and I'm so thankful when people see right division, you know. And it just makes the Bible, it makes sense, right? But you get some believers that are actually kind of puffed up. And what to say? Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And so they can sort of be obnoxious. And the thing is, usually Like some people started seeing a lot of times problems in the scriptures when you don't understand right the vision. I remember you, sister, saying you had questions and you knew. And some people started seeing there's like, it's kind of differences, and they're seeing it, but they think they're crazy a little bit because they're pastor, and you know, you bring it up to them, and hey, brother, you know, you're getting in, sound like them hyper dispensationalists, yeah. But it's usually God uses people who God had used Paul to give it to Timothy to teach other men, and then that was lost for a while, the mystery, right? That understanding of the dispensation of grace and the doctrine of the rapture, the difference of the nation Israel and the body of Christ, when the body of Christ started, and Paul's ministry. And so that was recovered by men who and women who knew this word and believed this word was their authority over, you know, like Kirk would used to say, Let men be my teachers, but the Word of God be my authority. And sometimes we act like we discovered dispensationalism, mid-Acts dispensationalism. And usually it's God's used people to point out something, then we looked into it, and then we found out it was true. So, but literally, guess who's the one who helped you to understand that? The Holy Spirit. As we'll see how far we can get to. If we get to it, we're going to see that the next thing would be the Holy Spirit. One of His ministries is to teach us to search or to examine, to inspect the Word of God, because there's a lot of differences in the Word of God, divisions, and it's the Holy Spirit who teaches us that. So, 2 Timothy 1:14. And Paul, he's writing this to Timothy, that good thing or that deposit which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Spirit which dwelleth in us. So that idea, that deposit, in the Greek, that's the idea there. It's like when you put some in the bank. Okay, you what? Deposit it for what? Safekeeping. And there was a responsibility involved there, like Paul. He was a steward of grace, right? There was a responsibility there. And so the Holy Spirit used Paul to share with Timothy about this. And then what did he do? He illumined Timothy's mind so he could grasp it. Now Timothy had what? A responsibility. Now, Paul is writing to Timothy, but don't you think that has to do with us too? If we don't stand for right division and the mystery and Paul's apostleship, if we don't stand and we just water the message down, and I'm not talking about being belligerent and rude. I'm talking about standing and sharing out of love and patience. But sometimes when somebody's really, you get them prosperity gospel message, that perverted spiritual pickpockets out there, that's where you're more straight up. Because it's a real perverted message. But some people are not deliberately perverting the message. They haven't taught this, you know. So we have a responsibility. I think about, how many of you went to the Berean Bible Conference? Well, if you noticed, a lot of the teachers are getting what? Older. You know, I'm trying to think of the one. He's got to be in his 80s. And if us who are, I like being around older people because they make me feel young. I'm 57, right? So us who are younger, if we don't take that torch and carry it and speak the truth in love and stand for that persecution, and you know, and if you seek to live godly, and if you're living godly, what type of life are you going to be living? God is what? Love, right? God is righteous. God is just. So we're going to be living a loving life, and we're going to. And it says, "Those who worship God must worship Him in what? Spirit and truth." So we're going to be living a loving life, and if we're focused on love, love is controlling us. We're not going to do a lot of them other things. You know why? Because if we want to be used by God, then I can't do this. Because then I'm not available to do this. And I love doing this. See, that's grace. I love doing this more than I love doing that. This doesn't give me joy. This doesn't give me peace. This does. And I want my life to be a living sacrifice. And I know every believer wants that. Right? Don't we want to be used by God to touch people? So that's why Paul tells us, let our lives adorn the gospel. Because if they don't see that reality of Christ in us, and if we're not dependent, if we're trying to do it on our own, that's a very fine line of when you're telling people to walk responsibly and applying it, and then trying to do it on your own strength. That is not it. Because we... Well, you know, when you go back to Isaiah 40, I was just reading that earlier, and it says the young men, you know, these were dudes that were trained. Their strength would end. See, our strength will end, won't it? I mean, you might do good for a while. You might be in ministry. You know, you're trying to live this Christian life. But you know what happens? You get spiritually burnt out. And a lot of people get like that. And then you know what happens? You come to church, and what happens? I can't tell anybody. I can't tell anybody about my struggles because they won't accept me. They won't think of me as the spiritual giant that I try and portray myself to be, you know? So we don't want... What Paul says, it's no longer I who lives. We got to learn that. That we can't live this Christian life in our own strength. You can do some plastic fruit. You know, there's a lot of big mega churches that are busy but barren. You know, and if you would ask a lot of them people about their Christian walk, you know, they come in, hey, praise the Lord, how you doing? Hey, everything's good in the Lord, you know. But then you leave there and you're sitting home in your living room and it's like, I thought Christ came to give me life and life to the full. What up? You know, what's up with me? Why ain't I experiencing it? Because a lot of times we got our focus on us and what we're doing or not doing instead of on Christ. And when we're focused on Him, His Holy Spirit is going to produce the life of Christ. And it's going to naturally happen. But Paul does give us commands. But they're not based on what? Fear. What was the law based on? Fear. If you do these things, I'll bless you. If you don't, you're cursed. The carrot and stick of the law. Thank you, Kirkwood. You know, that if you do good, here's your carrot. If not, pow! And you hear that, right? Oh, God will just discipline you because He's a good father. He'll take you to the woodshed. You know, no, He disciplines us. That idea is training through the Word. That's why we got to get into it. He makes us think different than would we normally would. He transforms our thinking into His way of thinking. See, the Holy Spirit turns the light on. And then all of a sudden, we start getting desires that are within His desires. You know, and doesn't that sound just beautiful? You know, it's so... The grace life is what? The exchange life. I exchange for my weakness for His strength. My sinfulness for His righteousness, right? My death for His resurrection. And it's all like that. And we always have to get back to... How did you begin in Christ? You couldn't save yourself, right? You had to... You know, I posted on Facebook, I liked it, it says, a person can't get saved until they realize they can't save themselves. The hardest thing for, especially a moral or religious, you know, unsaved person, that they're not a good person, right? So we just had to realize we couldn't save ourselves. So if Paul, our apostle, hey, in the dispensation of grace, doctrine, he tells us in the same way, walk in Him. Walk. What's that make you think about? Walking in the Spirit, right? Walking in Christ. The Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit. He's always leading us. And when we... Kirkwood, you say, our only problem is occupation with the Holy Spirit and with Christ. That's our only real problem. Because we get distracted, right? You know, you say, well... You don't know what I'm going through, right? Or somebody on the tape. Because I know everybody here is very spiritual. You ain't going through nothing because you got too much faith, right? But today, in that heat, what was it, 95, I think, 100 or 95 with the humidity in this warehouse. And terrible. I mean, I'm sweating. I'm perspiring pig sweat, right? And it's so hot, and I'm drinking Atlas water, and I'm saying, thank you, Lord, I got work. See, it didn't matter the circumstances, what we're going through. What mattered was, what? Attitude. I'm so thankful because I didn't have work for a while that I have something. You know, and even if, and you know what? As I'm focused on Him, because I was singing, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. And for you who have a problem with that, He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, right? I could say, we're going to see the Lord. No more crying there, no more struggle there, you know, no more pain there. But in the meantime, if we're left here, what's going to happen? We live in a fallen world, and the God's kingdom program, where there's no sickness, that thousand-year reign of Christ and the fullness of time, where there, or for us, the rapture, where we won't have sin natures. If we're left behind, what's going to happen? We're going to die. We're going to have struggles in our marriage sometimes, with our kids. We get sick. You know, sometimes we lose jobs. Me, I lost a business. But we can still have joy in the midst of that if what? If our focus is on God. You know? And realizing He's working all for our good, and that we can do it all through Christ. And see, the Holy Spirit keeps bringing that to our mind as we're what? We're into the Word. You got to know the Word, or what's He got to work with? Alright? So, it's up to us to stand for that good thing, that deposit, that later you'll see that. I don't know if we'll get to it today, but where Paul told him the things that he learned from him to teach men. And I think that's, well, it would be for, well, wouldn't it include teaching women too? Because women need to understand grace too. I mean, I'm just not trying to get all deep into it. But teaching people, so what? You can share with people. And you remember Bernard, the missionary from Brazil, Bernardo? He had a wonderful message about that, you know. And so as yous are coming, you know, I'm very, I don't know if it's, I'm proud of you guys and ladies coming out on a Thursday night, on a hot day, you know, because you want to learn more of the Word of God. And I know my one brother was really interested in the ministries of the Holy Spirit. And then as you're growing and you're coming to church and you're doing your own studying, what are you going to be able to do? Help other people. People in your family. People at work. People you don't like. Enemies. You're going to be able to help them to understand grace. And then you see when grace touches a life and really gets a hold on them. It's not just them getting grace, but grace, them grasping grace, because if grace hasn't grasped our hearts and our minds, it really hasn't grasped us. But then when you see God uses you to touch one person, there's none better than that. And then you see them growing, and you're like, man, Lord, you let me be a part of that. You did it. You know, you're driving, but you let me ride, come along with the ride. You know, there's none better. So let's go to 1 Timothy 6:20. So again, Paul had taught Timothy the doctrines of grace, the mystery. And then what was Timothy to do? Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. See, that's what I was looking for. Again, it's like putting it in a bank. They're responsible to keep it safe. And here's what I... because I see a lot on Facebook, people that... and they're mostly... some of them are like Acts 28ers, you know, that extreme dispensationalists. But some are mid-Acts dispensationalists, and they like to argue and quarrel over little things. I mean, there needs to be, on certain things, you got to be very clear on it. But some of them are getting into, like, the gospel is not just 1 Corinthians 15, that Jesus died, He was buried, and He rose. Paul said, what? This is the gospel, you were saved, right? And they got it, because look what he says at the end. So keep that, so keep what's very important. Avoid profane and vain babblings, and oppositions of science falsely called so-called. Let's go to Titus 2:11-14, the last of the T books. Now the Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God, right? It's God breathed, and God used His Spirit to inspire the Word of God. Okay, we see that in what we just read in Corinthians, that He teaches us, you know, the things that have freely been given to us. So where is the Holy Spirit gonna? Is He really? He wrote this book, and Christ reveals to Paul all these doctrines and teachings in grace, right? And Paul writes it down by what? The influence of the Holy Spirit causing him. It says all Scripture is God-breathed. That word Scripture is graphe in the Greek, and it means the completed product. Not just the one in Paul's mind or the other apostles' minds or the prophets in old, but it's what he got exactly down, what the completed product, Scripture. And so the Holy Spirit, through Paul, has him write this to us. So where is the Holy Spirit going to be teaching? What's He going to be teaching us? It surely is not law, right? Because Paul said we're not under law. Right? But under what? See, sometimes people forget that. We ain't under law, but we are under grace. And we have instructions under grace. And them instructions will teach us something. Starting in verse 11. So Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Now, I don't know, I wouldn't argue with somebody about this, but I believe that's when Paul, when Christ appeared to Paul on the Damascus Road. Now, like I said, I'm not, you know, so digging my feet on there, but that's how I see that. So it's grace teaches us something. So the Holy Spirit, by God's grace, because we're under grace, right? And that's what He wants to reveal for us to grasp. He's going to teach us something. Denying ungodliness, saying no to ungodliness, and worldly lust. So what's the Holy Spirit? By the grace of God, when we get tempted, what? He's trying to teach us saying no, but not just, no, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to do it. Pretty soon, I'm doing it, right? Because I'm focused on my sin. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, thinking clearly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope. What's that? The rapture. It could be any day. And it's getting closer and closer. If Paul thought in his day it was coming, I believe, how much more? We're what? 2,000 years later or whatever? So it's going to, the grace of God, that the Holy Spirit will illumine our mind to grasp, to say no to sin, and what? To live upright and godly. And what is godly? God-like. What is God-like? God is love, right? God is righteous. God is just. God is merciful. God is compassionate. Alright? He's going to produce that as we what? Grow in grace. So, I think we might have enough time just to... the next thing, I don't have a lot to do. Let me read this to you first. So, the next thing we're going to look at is the ministry of searching the Word. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 2:10. So the idea of search or examine means to inspect in detail, to analyze carefully, examine as we dependently study God's Word. The Holy Spirit will teach us what it means. He'll show us distinctions and divisions in God's Word, and He'll show us the things that differ. I know some people believe that you know, that that shouldn't be interpreted. The King James doesn't have it that way. But in the Greek, it does have that idea, things that differ. So anyway, he's going to show us distinctions in the Word. So 1 Corinthians 2:10. And why do we need to know them distinctions in the Word and divisions? If not, we'll be confused. All right? Take one thing. Jesus said, if you don't forgive others, your Heavenly Father won't forgive you. Right? That's on the law. Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. Right? Paul tells us what? And who did he get his instructions from? Christ, directly. Now there's been a change, a distinction. But now, one of Paul's but nows, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Not if you forgive, you get it. You got it up front. It says, forgive as you have been forgiven. That's just one thing. How about the food? There's places in scriptures where in the Old Testament, they could only eat, in the Garden of Eden, what could they eat? Herbs, you know. Vegetables, herbs, from the trees, fruit. Okay, then it got changed somewhat, right? After they fell, now that was the dispensation of innocence, now it's the dispensation of conscience, and then when you want, the law comes along and you can eat certain things, you can't eat other things. Then God shows Peter, when he shows where they couldn't eat pork and a lot of certain shellfish and things, and all of a sudden, God brings down this sheet in this vision, right? And he's shown them these unclean things, if you want. And Peter's like, you know, ain't that like us? You ever find yourself in Scripture? Oh, no, God. We're arguing with God, you know. Oh, no, I've never done that, or I can't do that, you know. And God said what? What he's cleansed. See, so there was even a change there. You know, and then Paul tells us what? If you give thanks, all things are good, you know. But if we shouldn't eat an offense, he said. So, if you don't see differences, God told Noah to build an ark. It's in the Bible, right? Do you know, and under law, you couldn't mix certain fabrics? So a lot of legalists today, you know, Seventh-day Adventists believe we're still under the Old Testament law. And I'll bet you they're wearing that mix of clothing, you know. So the Holy Spirit needs to help us to examine, inspect, see the differences, them distinctions, things that differ. 1 Corinthians 2:10. But God has revealed to them them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, even the things of God. And then the Holy Spirit does what? He shows us. If we'll look at it, and when you're studying, you ever read something, you've read it over and over and over again, and all of a sudden you're studying, you're like, I never saw that. That's usually the Holy Spirit, bing, illuminating our minds. Let's go to Philippians 1, 9 and 10. This is a verse I was talking about. And this I pray, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. So, He doesn't only want us to abound in knowledge, right? It's love too. But, people say, oh, we should just love and hold hands and not discuss doctrine. Paul also tells us, don't you know? You know, what's the biggest denomination? The ignorant brethren? Paul said, are you ignorant, brethren? So we need to know things, and Paul expects us to know things. The Holy Spirit does, Christ does, God does. But don't let it puff us up. It should motivate us to love. You know, it should get into first it, as you're studying the Word of God, the Holy Spirit within our spirit teach it. You know, that's what communes with God, our new nature, and His Spirit teaching our spirit, teaching our mind. See, if you just get it here, if the Holy Spirit's not doing the illumining, then it's just here, and then it can just stay there. You know, and then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until you're walking, you're the, you know, the doctrine head, right? But see, He gets it into our mind, that gets into our attitudes. That's what God wants to do. And then attitude precedes what? Action. And He wants it to come and get where we're walking in the Spirit. Out. You're reaching out, loving. You know, I loved when that couple from Alaska, when they were here and they started doing that ministry of door to door, I thought that was wonderful. I thought, man, that's taking the grace to the hood, you know, to the neighborhood. And I can't help sometimes my old slang from the hood. But, you know, Christian Research Institute, you say, would you do for the truth what the cults do for a lie? You know? Well, no, I'm not comfortable with doing that. You know, sometimes you can learn, because somebody who is gifted in that area, we can learn how they present Christ, how to deal with different situations. And so he says in verse 9, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." So, again, in the Greek has the idea, approve means what? When you approve of something, then you think it through, then you test it. You know, a workman, studies show thyself approved unto God. And then there was another verse, I can't remember where it was at, but prove, test, prove. So, as you're searching the Scriptures, and in the Greek, it says test things that differ. There's divisions. Well, the Holy Spirit's going to teach us to test, you know, to approve. So we'll know it for ourselves. Not because our pastor said, not because mama said, daddy said, grandma said, Dr. So-and-so said, not because Stan said. And I got so much respect for him. Not because Kirkwood said, not because Bob George said, not because our pastor said, not because Dave said, not because Paul Baldock said. I know it because it's in here. And the Holy Spirit's taught me, and I'm convicted it's true. Convinced, I'm sorry. Well, convict me, you know, I found truth. All right, let's go to Romans 8, verse 6. Okay. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Now this death here, it confuses, I think, a lot of believers. It's functional death. It's like you have eternal life, so you're not going to die spiritually. It means that you will look like you're not even a believer. There won't be no fruit coming out of your branch. And that's if we... and in chapter 7, Paul was dealing with how we're not under law and we can't bear fruit under God. That means if we're trying in our own strength. And so the Holy Spirit is gonna teach us to what? Focus on Him. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. You see, when we're focused on Him, we're allowing Him to teach us, and we're allowing Him to show us some things, differences in the Word of God. So why do you want to know the differences? So I don't get out of God's will, so I can get in God's will. You know, Jordan, you say, you play your position. You know, what's your position? First base. You play it. You want to get in God's will? Find out what it is. Get in what He's doing. You're in His will. And we do know some things. His will is not for what? Fornication, right? His will is what? To give thanks in all things. His will is that we rightly divide the word. His will is that we apply the word. His will is that we love our husbands and wives. Wives, respect your husband. Husbands, love your wife. You know, there's bringing your children up, you know, in the fear and admonition of the Lord. So as we allow the Holy Spirit to teach us, we're going to have, it's what? Life and peace. The life of Christ being produced out of us. Or when we resist the Holy Spirit, we don't allow Him to do what He wants to, or we're trying in our own strength, what's going to happen? Remember where Paul said that yous who have tried, I don't remember the exact verse, yous who have tried to get actually back under the law, you've fallen from grace. That's the idea. And Christ is of no effect in you. See, when we try in our own strength, Christ won't do it. Because who will take the glory? Do you see what I did or what I've been doing? You know what I'm saying? Glory to Christ, but did you see me? But as we're allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us in all these ministries, and He's always what? Pointing us to Christ, reminding you of your identity in Christ, your union with Christ. You are one with Christ. He sits in the heaven, but what? He's the head, we're the body. I heard a good illustration. You know, somebody went to the bank, signed a check, wanted to cash, and the cashier says, "Oh, I can't cash that. Why not? You didn't write it." He goes, "What are you talking about? I didn't write it. Your hand wrote it." Your hand is you, right? Many members, one body. You know, the guy who robbed somebody with the gun went before the judge, and the judge says, "Son, what do you got to say for yourself?" He says, "I didn't do it. My hand did it." He goes, "Well, guess what? Your hands are going to jail. See, because it's you." And no matter what you feel, because we still have the sin nature, but we are new creations in Christ. And we don't never have to give in to that, believe it or not. We got no excuse. And we don't have to, because the cross broke its power. And as we appropriate by faith and reckon ourselves, no, that is not me, that's the old nature. You ain't got nothing on me no more. I reckon myself dead to you, and God, I'm alive to you. Use me. Got my focus on the Lord. I'm rejoicing now. You see? Let's go to 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. We're going to be closing out. I'll be just right on time. Y'all must have been praying. Everybody got it? All Scripture, that's graphe, the finished product, is given by inspiration of God, so it's God-breathed, and is profitable for doctrine. So what's that? Teaching? Actually, doctrine is not just teaching. It's something taught as a body of principles. So it's given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, that's conviction, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And that word, instruction, in the Greek has the idea of discipline. That's where God disciplines us. He doesn't punish us. He punished Christ. Now either He's an Indian giver, He poured all of His wrath on Christ. He'll never punish us, but He sure will teach us. Three ways. How's He discipline us? Through the Word. As we're studying, if we don't respond to that, then what's He do? What's Galatians say? You who are spiritual, someone's caught in a sin, that idea is caught like a bear trap. They're caught, man. They got in it and they're stuck. Or you caught them. They're caught in a sin. You who are spiritual, go to restore such a person, but watch lest you be tempted. So who's the spiritual one? The one who knows they can fall And they don't go there saying, brother, how could a Christian do sin like that with that self-righteous attitude? We shouldn't ask, how could a Christian sin? How can God use us to do anything except by His grace? And so God will bring a brother or sister into your life that will come with the gracious attitude to help and lift you up and restore you, not to slap you down a few times and say, let me help restore you, brother. Yeah. And then if we don't respond to that, you know what happens? Natural consequences. You sow to the flesh, you reap from the flesh. It didn't say you reap God whipping your behind. You reap from the flesh. There's consequences of sin. We shouldn't be afraid of God and the idea of He's going to punish us. We should have that fear, that high awe of God. But we should be afraid of sin, because sin will bring destruction. It will always, it hurts us. You know, so we don't want to just, because we're under grace, like Paul said, shall we just go sin? And as King James says, God forbid. And never, it's like in the Greek, never a thousand times. It's very strong. And grace teaches us what? To say no to unrighteousness, right? But to live upright and godly. So, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That what? The man, and that's generic, the idea is man or woman, humankind, that the man of God might be perfect, so mature, complete, thoroughly furnished or equipped unto all good works. That's how the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God. And now, a lot of people study the Word of God, believers, right? And a lot of them apply a lot of things. They might not have a lot of doctrine, but they got the right attitude. And we got people with a lot of doctrine, they ain't got hardly no attitude. How about if we get the doctrine, we get the attitude, and think what God can do with somebody like that, huh? Could God use somebody like that? Yeah. But before He tells us, all Scripture is used for what? To equip us? Let's go to 2 Timothy 2:15, and we're going to end. He tells us how to study it. And this ain't new, I don't think, to anyone here. But you never know who's listening through the internet. And we pray that God will use us to reach out to other people, right? Not just our little church. You know, I would love to see the pastor, I want to talk to him, put a wood plaque, I would buy it actually, when you're leaving the door, saying, how's it go? It used to be on the church. Welcome to the mission field. So 2 Timothy 2:15. Study, so we got to study. The flesh is weak, the spirit's willing, right? To show thyself approved unto God, so there's a way that has God's approval, right? You're tested. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, so there's a way to study the Word of God where you won't be ashamed, and there's a way, when you don't do it, you should be ashamed. That's why so much false teaching out there. And so how does God want us to do it? Rightly dividing the Word of truth. And what's that mean, right division? Again, the Greek, you know, some people don't think the Greek's important. The Greek will tell you a lot of times, when we say love by a lot of things, right? But in the Greek, it has four different definitions. You have phileo, friendship love. You have agape love, like God. You have storge, like you and your children, and eros. See, it's very expressive. So when we go to the Greek, and the Holy Spirit wrote in the Greek, that's what the original scriptures were. The original, what Paul wrote, what the other apostles wrote, were written in the Greek. So you can go and find out what it really means. And so what does rightly divide mean? It means there's divisions, like slicing a pie. There's divisions in God's Word. And the best way to do it is in Ephesians, I think, where Paul said in time past. That's one division, in time past. But he says, but now, what's that? In the dispensation of grace, right? And then he talks about things to come. So we need to know major in Paul's epistles, but know all Scripture Because if you didn't know Adam fell, would you know what Romans chapter 5, when he's talking about in Adam or in, in Christ, by one man sin came into the world, you'd be like, what's he talking? Where did that happen? Oh, you want to check out Genesis, huh? But we need to really, because Paul got a revelation of, like, you know where he said that it was given to him to complete the Word of God? And he said to, we ain't got time. Anyway, Paul explains what the suffering of Christ accomplished. What is death, burial, and resurrection? For the body of Christ and also for Israel. He explains to us why that nation's been temporarily set aside. Why we're not spiritual Israel. We're the body of Christ. And we have instruction. So we need to major in His and then study what? Prayerfully, dependent on the Holy Spirit and dependent on Christ within us to what? Live out this experience of spiritual life within us. We're oneness with Christ. Let's close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much, Lord, for Your grace. We sure didn't deserve it, God. Actually, You said while we were still sinners, while we were powerless, helpless, Christ died for us. And that when we were dead in our sins, we're spiritually dead, God. We couldn't give ourselves life. All we could do is try and get moral and disgusting like the religious Pharisees, self-righteousness. But You sent Your Son to die for sinners. So we got to recognize we are a sinner, God, or why would we even appreciate Him dying for us? And when a person, Lord, You said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. When they trust that Christ died in their place, He's dying for their sin as them, that moment You identify them with His death, burial, and resurrection. And You did that with us, Lord, every believer here. And Lord, because of Your mercies, Your compassion, Your grace, we want to offer our bodies, everything we are, Lord, to You. Express Yourself to us, Lord. Help us not to try and live this life in our own strength. Help us to learn that it's not really a secret, it's all through Paul's epistles, but that it's no longer us who lives, but Christ who lives out of us, in us and out of us and through us. And to Him be the glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So thank you all for listening so well and for coming out. I appreciate that. Okay. And again, if anyone ever has questions, just write them down. And I ain't had a chance for yours yet, sister. No, remember I told you I would... Huh?